This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us this afternoon. I'm Jason Kong, alongside Mary Lucas, representing Transitions Life Care. Mary, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, it was I was out last night. I go to a local bottle shop here, House Creek Beverage in Raleigh, and I was standing there, and one of the co-owners was standing there, and he was like, "I listened to your show." And I was like, "What?" And it was like, it was a Monday. And so therefore, he had to have listened to it the day the podcast came out. And I was like, "Warren, you listened to the show? It's Monday. It just came out." He's like, "Yeah, I'm an avid listener." And I was like, "I love that." So I just wanted to give a shout out to Warren at House Creek Beverage. And I hope he's listening to this show too. But it made me really excited to hear someone in the wild talking about it.
The only true way to verify this is to go back on Monday.
I know,
and wait,
right?
Wait for the podcast to drop. Make sure that he gets it.
And, yeah.
You know, you got to test him. See, Warren, are you listening? Did you download the podcast? Oh, man.
Yeah, well, it was good.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. And thank you, Warren, and everyone for listening. We always appreciate folks engaging in the content and also for the positive feedback or any sort of feedback. We appreciate that as well. We've got a great show lined up for today. We're going to be discussing retirement planning, and we are very pleased to welcome on the show Mark Osler. Mark is president of the Mark Osler Experience, and he is a pro when it comes to retirement planning. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yes, Jason. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Mark, to start us off, can you tell us a little bit about your background and also your expertise and how you got started in retirement planning?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm a graduate of Barton College over in Wilson, North Carolina, originally from the South Jersey area, born in Philadelphia. Came down here, met my beautiful wife in Wilson. We've been living in Cary for several years, over 20 years now. And I've been doing this retirement planning business for 23 years. I've got a lot of experience with people the Triangle area and some other states as well. And I really love working with people and just trying to figure out, hey, do you have enough to retire on?
That is a good question and something I think about quite often. And I know that the economy plays a lot into that, and there's a lot going on out in the world right now. How would you describe what we're seeing in the current economic climate, and what are some of the implications for retirement planning?
I'm glad you asked that. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I focus on more than anything else is the economic environment that we look at with regards to the United States of America. Because if the United States is doing well, the rest of the world is doing well. When I graduated from Barton College, I graduated with a degree in business management, and I minored in economics, only to realize that economics was going to be my thing. I'm a budding economist. I love to study people. Followed Jamie Dimon, of course, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, and several other people as well. And when I look at some of the things we're dealing with our U.S. debt, those are some of my biggest concerns, because when you listen to the presidential candidates, they talk about U.S. national debt, which we're talking about $35 trillion, not billion, but trillion dollars. What I focus on is actually a little bit more serious, which is U.S. unfunded liabilities, $220 trillion. That's everything that's not backed by a fund. So that is my biggest concern. And underneath that, of course, we're going to probably talk about the Social Security debt as well.
So when we think about inflation and it rising, how should individuals adjust their strategy around retirement savings? Do you suggest doing certain things with the world and the way it is currently?
Yes. When we look at what we're dealing with as a whole, a lot of people are starting to lock into bonds. So many people have put money towards short-term CDs because they realize when you're getting to 3 to 5 year CDs, the interest rate is much lower. That's because we're in an inverse interest rate environment. The writing has been on the wall for over a year now. that we knew we would have to eventually lower interest rates. Simply because they're afraid that we could fall into a recession, and their whole goal is to get us to not fall into a recession. And they call it a soft landing, and truly we have not met the definition of a soft landing, but they're still trying to achieve it. And so those are the things that we look at right now. It's also a great time for folks if they want to lock into multi-year guarantee annuities that go from anywhere to 5 to 10 years, because you're going to get interest rates that you lock in for a period of time, because the government's already talking about lowering interest rates another 0.25% potentially in November, and again potentially in December as well.
So looking ahead, what economic trends do you think that will most significantly impact retirement planning in the next decade?
The trends that I'm focused on and I am really paying attention to is that we've got to do something about our debt. If we do not address this, and this is my frustration, I think, more than anything else with regards to politicians, it is one of the biggest things facing us, because when I look at this and I see what we're facing, folks will ask me when I do a presentation. I do a lot over at Ray's Restaurant in the Raleigh-Cary location right off of Buck Jones Road. And Ray Arias is a great, great guy, good friend of mine. And we talk about things, and when they ask me questions at the end of my presentation, one of the questions was, well, you know what? Japan's been doing this for years. They've been in such great debt. They're just fine. But I've had friends that have gone over there, and I can tell you they're not just fine. But we have something a little bit more serious. We have a Social Security debt. And so folks ask me about that all the time, and I'd like to just comment on that. Do you mind, Mary?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay. So this is the one that I'm focused on completely, because when we're doing retirement planning, we're talking about income strategies, we're talking about tax strategies, and we're talking about risk tolerance, because the older you get, the less tolerance for risk you're going to have, obviously, because you want to work more of a fixed budget. So we look at all of these things, and Social Security is a big one, right? So we're talking about Social Security. My concern about Social Security is that if they don't do anything, the trust fund of Social Security will be bankrupt by 2033. How will that impact people's Social Security? Well, our government is smart enough to know that if they're taking our earned income with our Social Security taxation and using it to pay other people that have Social Security, that at least that's going to substitute for some of that, maybe 50% or more. The concern is that when you hear from experts, they say that it's a possibility if they don't do anything, our Social Security could get reduced by 20 to 50%. Now, if we don't build those things into our plan and our retirement plans, this could negatively impact what we want to accomplish in the next 5, 10, 15 years.
So are there any current or proposed policies that could affect retirement planning, and how does someone go and stay informed about some of these changes that are going on in the world? What do you suggest to keep people with the top of their mind and thinking about their retirement planning and what's going on?
Well, one of the things that I like to focus on is really just being smart with your money, because right now we're hitting historic highs in the market. Financial professionals, and I call them financial professionals, if they're paying attention to what's going on, we're hitting all-time highs. So 2024, 2023, markets up over 20% both years. Mary, did you know that has not happened since 1955?
Wow. I did not.
So let's look at this. Let's take the gravity of the situation. We had a recession from 2000 to 2002. From that period, that two-year period, the S&P 500 dropped 49%. And it took it several years to come back, only for us to go through the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009, which produced a 56.5% decline in the S&P 500. Since 2009, it recovered back all the way to 2013. You could actually draw a line from 2000 to 2013. You can see a big W across the way, and you would see that there would be no gains in the S&P 500 because of the two recessions that we went through. So what we're doing now is we're going from 2009 to 2024 with no real correction in the market. And folks will bring up the COVID correction, but that's not a real correction. That happens so quick and swift. So are we facing the potential of a recession? Are we going to achieve a soft landing instead? If so, what kind of correction can happen in the market? What can we do differently? Well, obviously, you look to global markets in those situations. You might even look at some safer options as well. So these are the types of things we talk about. And if you've got, let's just say you got 10 more years of work to go or 15 more years of work to go, I would advise you to come into my office and have a conversation with me, because I know that I could help you get to where you want to be in 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, that's interesting. And these are all things that we need to keep our eyes on. We are speaking with Mark Osler. He is president of the Mark Osler Experience, and we're talking about all things when it comes to retirement planning. And we're going to continue our conversation with Mark right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care, on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. With your host, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care, on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest on the line with us today is Mark Osler. He is president of the Mark Osler Experience, and we are talking about all things when it comes to retirement planning and making sure that we've saved up enough and what we need to know going forward when it comes to retirement planning. And Mary, you know, there's so many variables when it comes to saving and retirement. And, you know, one of the things that we were discussing is the stock market. You know, I can't think of anything that is a bit more variable and volatile than that.
Yes, it's something that my mom and I talk about quite often. She loves to log in and say, oh my gosh, I've lost this much or I've gained this much every single day. It's one of those things you can just like constantly bury your head in if you're involved in it. Mark, talk to us a little bit about what retirees should consider, or people who are looking at retiring and are involved in the stock market. What should you consider during turbulent times and this up and down and the impact it has on your portfolio?
That's a fantastic question. As a matter of fact, when I look at these things, and everybody should take this serious, because when you're looking at your own portfolio and what you've worked your whole life for, you also have to take into account your health, take into account your resources, take into account how many years more of work you have, or are you already retired, what your risk tolerance is, all of these things. A lot of people like to use the rule of 100. Rule of 100, I'm 47 years old. Rule of 100, 100 minus my age, tells me how much I should have like exposed to real risk. And folks will always think, well, when we're talking about real risk, it could be all encompassing in the market, but it doesn't all have to be in the market. And I have some people that have no money in the market and some people that have all money in the market. I think that you need to have a balance. And so let's say, for example, Mary, how old is your mother?
Oh, she would kill me if I told this on air.
Oh, goodness. Can we just let's just do an example then. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good.
Let's make an example.
You make the example.
I will make the example. Okay. So, for example, I have a lady that came into my office that is 57 years old. And she said, I really want to retire at 59 and a half. You know, that's that magic age where the IRS says it's okay for you to take money out of qualified accounts like traditional IRAs and 401ks without getting hit with an IRS penalty of 10%. So when we look at this, we say, okay, let's take into account what she has, her resources and how much income she's going to need, how much she's relying on Social Security, and do we need to rely fully on Social Security? Of course, when we want to make sure there's no bullet holes in the plan, okay? So when I look at this and I make sure that I'm answering her questions, that I can give her the proper advice. And in this particular case, I told her, that she's going to have to take some risk in order to retire at 59 and a half. And if not, if no risk, 62 or 63. She opted for no risk in 62 or 63. And I understand we're in a place where if the market does have a correction and with certain risk and risk that you might take, and there are some things that we can do that's not directly towards the market where we can still make money and take risk and it be okay. But I can't say it's fully okay, because any time you take risk, that means there could be something that could go down. So for me, I focus on what we can do. And we talked earlier about bonds. We talked about CDs. And I'll mention, I even mentioned multi-year guarantee annuities. But there are other things about annuities that have some great mechanism towards them that can help people in retirement, whether it's income planning, whether it's if you're afraid about the loss of Social Security, there's ways to protect in that way too. So these are some of the things. And one of the biggest things, Mary, your show is called Aging Matters. Well, it does. It matters. I worry about the folks that don't take into account longevity. I have a client of mine that cares for a person. This client of mine is around 70 years old, and she's caring for a person that's 106 years old. You know, this is a real scenario, and we're talking about what can we do about these things. So honestly, when we're in historic highs in the market from 2009 to 2024, I think we have to realize what kind of risk we should and should not take. And there are some ways you don't have to take all of that risk.
Interesting. I think that you're slowly touching on a few of these points, and I wanted to call it out because I think it's important. But diversification in your portfolio, you've touched on all these different ways you can be investing. Why is this so important in today's economy?
It's extremely important in today's economy because are we focused on our income planning right now or in the future? Are we planning for taxes now or in the future? I have folks that come into my office, and we're talking about if you come into my office at 70 years old and you're telling me you have a $1.5 million IRA and you want to start converting to a Roth, you have to start thinking about the fact that at 73, you're going to be taking required minimum distributions. It's the amount of money that the IRS says that you have to take a minimum amount of out of your qualified plans at that age. And guess what? We can still convert to a Roth IRA even after 73, but the IRS says you have to take your RMD first in those particular years. So it limits the amount of time we have converting to Roth IRA. And of course, as you convert to a Roth IRA, you also want to watch your tax bracket and where things go. But one of the things we talked about recently, and I was discussing this with a gentleman, a friend of mine, we were talking about the gravity of the situation of what do we do if we don't have enough money set up for retirement, or we're just worried about it. Well, I can answer those questions for you. If you come into my office and talk to me about it, we can get a pen to the paper about the risk versus not risk. And Mary, you asked about those things. Folks, if you're in brokerage accounts, and let's just say you're doing ETFs, you're doing mutual funds. Let's say you just like straight up indexes as a whole. If you're a good stock picker, you know, everybody likes the Apples and Teslas of the world because they move. And let's say some people are more risky and they trade options. And those are all great things. But you don't always have to do things within a portfolio like that. And there's other alternative investments you can do as well. You can do things like, you know, treasury bonds. You can do anything to do with treasuries, anything to do with CDs, anything to do with annuities with well-rated companies. Those are all safe avenues for people too, and they can also work into your portfolio.
It's good to know. I want to talk very briefly, because I'm younger than my mom. What advice would you give me or people who are a little bit earlier in their career, just starting to think about retirement? I think it's something, you know, my parents always said, you should be contributing to your retirement as soon as you possibly can. And I ignored them for the first few years of, you know, working world, because I was just thinking, no, I don't want that money coming out of my paycheck. I'm not making that much money. And I regret it. I wish somebody had a conversation with me that was a little more serious then. So what advice do you give if you have one little nugget of advice for those who are just starting to think about it?
Oh, that's a fantastic question, because when we talk about these things, I regret it a lot too. The funny thing is, I've been doing this for 23 years, and you know, they brought up a great topic the other day, and was that, we're great as retirement professionals at helping other people with their money, much greater than ourselves. And so it took me a lot longer to learn that as well, Mary. And I would say that the earlier, the better. You know, as a matter of fact, I have clients that start to do things for their kids, just to kind of start the process as well. And I think that's pretty smart too. Just don't want to do too much. You want them to have some skin in the game. What I tell people, let's just say you're young, and what if you make a lot of money and you're limited on how much you can contribute to certain things? Or what if you make too much money and you can't contribute to a Roth IRA? Some alternatives, life insurance. And you ask me, why life insurance? Well, the answer is this. Life insurance, if it's done a certain way, underneath what's called a modified endowment contract limit based on the premiums, you can contribute to this policy, overfund the policy, grow the cash value, and have tax-free withdrawals and loans in the future if done properly. And it could be basically a Roth IRA on steroids. So it's a great alternative, or in addition to a Roth IRA.
That's great advice. Those life insurance policies aimed towards cash value can be huge for someone, especially if you start very early in life. That can have a tremendous impact with your compound interest there. We're speaking with Mark Osler. He's president of the Mark Osler Experience. We're talking all things when it comes to retirement planning, and we're continuing our conversation with Mark right after this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters at transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. If you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org, transitionslifecare.org. There's so many resources, a ton of information. If you or your family are in need of their services, transitionslifecare.org is the place to go. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest with us today is Mark Osler. Mark is president of the Mark Osler Experience, and we are talking about retirement planning. And Mary, we've covered a lot of ground so far, and you know, now we're talking about when we're getting close to the finish line, and when you know we may want to begin withdrawing money, or maybe we're at that point in our lives where we do have to take those required minimum distributions.
Yes, absolutely. What are some recommendations and strategies for withdrawing funds, Mark? If somebody wanted to pull out, let's say, a little bit of money to work on their forever home so that they could live comfortably, what are some different strategies you would suggest when thinking through that?
Ooh, this is interesting. It's almost like a question that was tossed up like a softball, but I've got to look at it a lot more serious, like a curveball here, because it's a lot different for everyone. When I look at when somebody wants to take withdrawals, I focus on what the resources are and where the money is. And then, is it in the right place and is it designed the right way to take those withdrawals? So, for example, you said, I want to withdraw money for my forever home. Well, that's something that I would be very cautious with, and I would probably say, if you're looking to do it sooner rather than later, you probably want to have that in a money market fund. Because if you have it in the money market, you can have it ready for yourself to do those things. And right now, of course, money market's paying a decent amount of interest, but at least the money is guaranteed in there. And that'll even say that, you know, if you open up a big financial book that I had to study before, it tells you that exact thing. So, well, obviously, we want to focus on what people think is important. Well, if it's for a forever home or something liquid, that's really important. Now, if you're talking about retirement income, totally separate subject. Let's say, for example, and I had a lady come into my office that she had quite a bit of money all in the market with a great brokerage firm that I'm very fond of. And we realized that she didn't want to keep all of it there. We wanted to focus on some of the Roth IRA money and use that for retirement income. And in this particular case, she said, okay, I've got, you know, 5-6 years left of work. What we're going to do is we're going to take this Roth IRA money. We're going to set it up into an annuity with a lifetime income rider. But we're not just going to do it with any lifetime income rider. We are going to use a software that tells us who pays the most. We're going to look at the software, and then we're going to determine, is the company have a high enough rating where I can feel comfortable that this will be my amount of income that I can draw at this age for the rest of my life? And that's what we did for her. We found the company, made sure they were A-rated, they were right near the top of the list, maybe even higher projected, and we can guarantee her a lifetime income on that portion of money. That's another example. But sometimes folks want, let's just say, simple withdrawals. And the rule of natural inflation, which there's really no more natural inflation, because we know we had historic highs in June of 2022 of 9.1%, but I know we're feeling it a lot more than that in some other areas too. So the normal inflation that people would use before was withdrawals of 4%, and you felt your principal is safe. Mm-hmm. What I would say is take that with a grain of salt, and as we look at it, we just want to make sure that where the money is, how we take the withdrawals, that we're not overdoing it.
That's good advice. For Jason and I, who are nearing retirement here, what are some key adjustments that we should be making in light of some of the economic changes and things that we should be thinking about for the future?
So if you are nearing retirement, and let's just say you're 10 years or less, then I would start getting really strict with my planning. I would look at what I want in certain risk positions versus non-risk positions. I would look at what my comfort level is with regards to risk. And then I would start to make a plan that would be all-encompassing to what's going to fit your needs if you're going to retire in 10 years. So for any particular person, it's different. So that you might say, I really love stock, or I really love preferred stock, and I like taking withdrawals, my dividends from preferred stock. Great. Let's just look at your all-encompassing plan, build something for you, and answer your questions. So obviously, the closer you're getting, and if you give me, let's just say you want to give me 10 or 15 years, great. That gives me more time, because the more time you give me, the easier my job is for you.
It's good to know. So are there any specific tools or resources you recommend for individuals who are planning their retirement in the current economy? And also, when should someone consider consulting a financial advisor for planning?
I think that early on in your careers, when you start working, it's a good time to talk to any kind of financial professional. And you need to talk to a financial professional to meet all of your needs. So we're talking about, hey, when you're young, Mary, you think you're going to live forever. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds stupid, but when we're in our 20s, we don't ever think anything's going to happen. We think we're going to feel good forever. We're going to last forever. We're going to be here, and we're not going to worry about this. And our income's going to keep going up and up and up. Let's just go out and have a good time. But the truth is, we should be doing this right away, because the sooner you do it, the easier your life's going to be later on. Obviously, if you're building, whether it's for just retirement or maybe wealth strategies as a whole, it's going to make your life a lot easier making decisions when you have a pot of money over here that you can pull from for any given need. You know, if you have a dental issue or anything else that might pop up in your life. So obviously, the sooner, the better.
That's good to know. So how can people find out more about you, get in touch with you, and tune into your show?
Yeah, so My name is Mark Osler. My company is called the Mark Osler Retirement Experience. It has an assumed business name of More, and my website is moretoretire.com. More, like, Mary, it's really simple. Like, I need more to retire. Mm-hmm. moretoretire.com. And I have a radio show that is broadcasted at 7 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., 7 a.m. on Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. on Sundays. And you can see and look up the station identification on my website. And if you want to learn more from me and you want to contact me directly, you are more than welcome to. You know, it's right there on my website on moretoretire.com.
Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show and answering our questions and helping us understand more about retirement planning and what we should be doing and what we should consider. We really appreciate you sharing your expertise with us.
Absolutely. This has been a pleasure of mine. You guys are great hosts, and whatever I can do to help the public, I'm here for.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Again, he is Mark Osler, president of the Mark Osler Experience. You can go to moretoretire.com to learn more about him and find more information about Mark and his services. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more coming up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9. 107.5 and AM 680 WPTF News Talk Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680 and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care. Here's your host, Jason Kong.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF News Talk Traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. Plenty of resources and information available for you there. Also, career opportunities. If you're looking for a change there, head on over to transitionslifecare.org. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. And Mary, we are shifting gears here, and we're going to be talking about anticipatory grief. And I'm really very much looking forward to this conversation. And we've brought on one of our own. We're going to be speaking with E. Below. E. Below is a Grief Outreach Coordinator at Transitions Life Care. E, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Certainly. Thanks for having me.
This is a very touching topic for me, something that I talk about with my therapist. I'm very excited to talk to you, E, about this. I talk about my dogs a lot on the show, and I know that that's very different than people, but still there is anticipatory grief that I have experienced in thinking about one of my dogs who's on hospice. And it's real, you know, thinking about anticipatory grief. And so E, maybe start us off. How does this differ to grief after death?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Mary. And as you may have intuited by the name anticipatory grief, this type of grief, you know, typically occurs before a death-related loss. So typically it refers to what someone might feel in the days or months or even years before the death of a loved one. It's that experience of knowing that a change or a loss is inevitable and experiencing grief in the face of that. So where grief related to a death, you know, typically only impacts the people who are left in their absence. Anticipatory grief can actually impact not just their loved ones, but also the person who's been diagnosed with a life-limiting illness. You know, oftentimes we make this mistake of thinking of grief as just that physical loss of a person. Mm-hmm. But like grief that occurs after a death, you know, anticipatory grief can also often include grief around all of those layers of loss as an illness progresses. You know, things like loss of companionship as your person's abilities change, or in your case, your pups change. You know, the change in your role with your loved one, you know, loss of financial security and even of the future. You know, of course, we expect to experience grief after a death. But, you know, few of us really understand that grief can show up before a life ends. And I'd really say that the biggest difference between anticipatory grief and grief related to a death, or what you might call conventional loss, is that conventional grief is similar to grieving backwards. You know, that is, we mourn a loss that's already happened, whereas with anticipatory grief, it's really more forward-focused. We're grieving everything that we expect to lose, not just that physical loss of the person, but all of those layers.
Mm. As if being caregiver isn't enough already, you know, or you're already dealing with taking care of somebody and kind of getting everything in place and really working through what's to come, and then add this on top of it. It's just one more layer that is very difficult for someone in this situation, I can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you know if you're feeling anticipatory grief? What are some signs and symptoms to look out for? I can think about it in my own case, like stress, for example. I can imagine is something that, you know, it kind of multiplies when you're anticipating grief. I feel my stress levels rising. But how do you know what you're feeling is anticipatory grief?
Yeah, and Mary, you hit the nail on the head with stress, especially when you couple that with caregiving responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And what you experience can be really similar to what you might expect to experience after a death-related loss. So, of course, you know, feelings of sadness or tearfulness, maybe some denial or fear, maybe even guilt. You might find yourself rehearsing the death, you know, what it might be like to think about the future without that person there. Or if you're the person who's dying, you know, maybe thinking about what that death experience might feel like for you. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we do have, you know, increased levels of stress. Like you mentioned, you know, we might experience more anger, anxiety. A lot of us experience changes in sleep. Maybe you're sleeping too much or too little. And oftentimes that is because we are in this kind of in-between place between, you know, maintaining this needed sense of hope, but also starting to prepare for the death of our person and letting go, so to speak. And that can be a really painful and confusing space to live in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely. So moving forward, what are ways that you can cope with anticipatory grief? Are there things that you can do or ways that you can start to cope with that now to help?
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit on a good point of, you know, what can I do now versus what I might have to deal with in the future. And I think one important thing to remember for yourself, or even if you're supporting someone who's grieving, is just remembering that just because you're grieving before somebody dies, it doesn't mean that you won't grieve after they die. You know, anticipatory grief, it doesn't necessarily make the grief process easier. And it isn't a substitute necessarily for grieving later. You know, I think sometimes we think that there can't possibly be anything more to feel or give after a loved one has died. And, you know, we can be really hard on ourselves and in turn afterward. Like, you know, haven't I already done this before, or shouldn't I be over this by now? But it's really important to recognize that that's a really common response. And there is no timeline on grief. There's no fixed volume of grief. You can't, you know, save it up now or carry it forward later. And knowing that even if your loved one has been sick or has been declining for several years, you know, nothing can really fully prepare us for the actual death and how we'll respond. You know, I do want to mention in that same vein, though, anticipatory grief, it does have some benefits. It can provide us with opportunities for closure that, you know, people whose loved one died perhaps suddenly or unexpectedly might not experience. And sometimes, you know, it can also provide us with space to have those hard conversations or share memories or seek closure. I think ultimately, you know, the most important takeaway is to recognize that, like with conventional grief, we all grieve in our own timeline and in our own way. So it's important to try to maintain a sense of grace and patience with yourself, to give yourself that permission to experience that, you know, wide-ranging experience of emotions without judgment. You know, grieving your person before they die, it doesn't mean that you're giving up hope or abandoning them. I think that's one thing that a lot of us worry about. But knowing that it is possible to grieve the future without relinquishing the present necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And if folks want to find more information, what's the best way for folks to do that?
Yeah, you can certainly go to transitionslifecare.org to learn more about grief. our services are primarily focused on death-related losses. There are some really great resources out there. There's a great website called What's Your Grief that's really chock full of resources and helpful articles on grief and anticipatory grief. And ultimately, some of the best resources are around us, leaning on your supports. Anticipatory grief and caregiving in the midst of all of that can be a really heavy load. So maybe doing an assessment of those supports, who you can go to help with the laundry, or who you can go to just be distracted if you need to. Someone once told me, you don't go to Home Depot to buy bread. So, knowing who you can call on for those different needs as you're grieving can be really helpful. If you're working with a care team or have access to a nurse or a social worker or spiritual care member, use them. They can really help you approach and navigate some of those hard conversations with a lot of grace and dignity. Some folks, might find comfort or insight in caregiver groups. I think one of the silver linings that I've found in this pandemic is that, we aren't confined to geography. We can access support from miles away, including counseling. Considering counseling, it doesn't have to be forever. It can be just to get you over a particularly heavy period and give you a container for some of that heaviness and maybe feel a little less isolated in your grief.
Yeah, that's wonderful insight. And those websites again, transitionslifecare.org and whatsyourgrief.com, whatsyourgrief.com. We've been speaking with E. Bello. E. is a grief outreach coordinator at Transitions Life Care. E., thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jason and Mary.
The pleasure's all on this end of the microphone, and we're just about out of time for today. I want to remind you, if you want to find more information about Transitions Life Care, head on over to transitionslifecare.org. If you want to catch up on past episodes of Aging Matters, head over to WPTF.com, click on the podcast button, and there you'll find a wonderful picture of Mary and the Aging Matters logo, and there you can view the full archive of shows that we have available for you to listen and download. There, WPTF.com. Out of time for today, but we hope you'll join us again next weekend. Thank you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF. News, talk, traffic. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680. And WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.